Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. On to the Sweet 16 for Purdue following a dominant performance and a win over Villanova on Saturday. The Boilermakers will play the Volunteers of Tennessee Thursday night in the NCAA tournament's third round. I'm Kyle Charters, Brian Newbert here as well to talk some basketball. We'll bring in Tom Dienhart to talk some hoops and football as well. Yes, spring practice is also going on, although it's certainly taking a backseat to the basketball team right now. That coming up on Gold and Black Radio. Brian Newbert back from Hartford, from the beautiful Northeast. I'm sure you wish you could have gotten to stay longer, but you head down to Louisville to see the Boilermakers take on the Tennessee Volunteers in the Sweet 16. First, before we look ahead to that game, let's look back a little bit. Brian, that the best you've seen Purdue play in the victory against Villanova?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent the last 24, 36 hours kind of self-auditing things I said or wrote during the game, and one of those things was that I haven't seen a Purdue team play this well, and I kind of meant that in context. I don't mean like a home game against Iowa. I don't mean like some home game against non-conference riffraff, something like that. I mean in a game of this sort of, maybe not magnitude, but this sort of game. I'm not sure I've seen Purdue show up the way Purdue showed up. That was a pretty thorough performance. I mean, as good as Purdue was offensively, it was just as good defensively, and as good as Purdue was offensively and defensively, it was even better on the boards. So everything Purdue could have done in this game, it did significantly better than Villanova. And for them to do that in that situation, obviously, was pretty impressive from a Purdue perspective.
Yeah, Villanova made a slight run in the second half. They hit 3 three-pointers in a row. They cut the margin to 29. I mean, it tells you a little bit about where Purdue was in that game.
Yeah. After Purdue opened the second half on whatever it was, the 14-0 run, I believe, after Villanova missed its first 8 shots, the score didn't matter. There was really no point in time in which the score mattered. I thought the first few minutes of the second half was going to be huge, because when you go in the halftime, up 19, the last thing you want to happen is to be up 12, 4 minutes in. And Purdue, obviously, everything continued to go Purdue's way. I thought Purdue rattled Villanova. I thought some of Purdue's best defense was formidable offense, because I thought after Villanova opened the game missing some pretty good threes, they started hurrying. And I think when Carson Edwards is coming down and making everything he takes, and Purdue collectively is making threes, you know, everybody other than Carson Edwards made more than half their threes in this game too. So this wasn't just one player's performance kind of defining the whole team's performance. I think Purdue kind of shot the ball so well and UConn shot the ball so poorly to start. Villanova. I think Villanova shot the ball so poorly to open the game, and Purdue shot the ball so out of its mind that I think it affected Villanova. And they started losing their mind, and they started taking horrible shots. And, you know, struggles kind of amplified there. And that's like the last thing you expect a team as seasoned as Villanova to do. I mean, Villanova's been here before a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And they've won national titles. You don't expect them to lose their mind in the NCAA tournament. And I think that's exactly sort of the bout of psychological warfare Purdue won in this one, too.
Yeah. Purdue seems like a very confident team right now. I don't think that has wavered much, even, after losses, and perhaps that's a little bit to do with Carson Edwards. He's a pretty confident guy, whether things go well or not. But it feels to me, let's see if I can make this make some sense. It feels to me like a Purdue team that thinks the opponent's going to have to come beat them. Does that make sense? Rather than maybe a Purdue team in the NCAA tournament here, where in years past you felt like Purdue was going to have to play above itself a little bit and go beat somebody. I feel like this Purdue team, whether it's reality or not, feels like it thinks the opponent's going to have to do something to beat them. Does that make sense?
I think Purdue's very confident in knowing that when it plays the way it's capable of playing, it's very hard to beat. I think there are some things that it can control that it has done a really good job all season long of controlling. For the most part, the one thing it has done a great job all year of controlling is not turning the ball over. The thing it can control that maybe it doesn't do always a great job of, but is really good when it does, is its shot selection. You know, when Purdue takes good shots and takes care of the basketball, that's a pretty good combination for them. A whole season's worth of results shows. The other thing is effort. You know, this team obviously can control its effort and has done a great job all season long of giving a really good one pretty much every time out. And, you know, offensive rebounding has been so big for this team. And that's been kind of an unexpected sort of kind of defining characteristic of this team, because when you look at it on paper, when you look at the results prior to this season, nothing really other than Grady Eifert's effort and Nojel Eastern's physical matchup against guards, nothing about this team would have screamed this is going to be a dominant offensive rebound team. And I'm not saying they've been a dominant offensive rebounding team, but they've been a really good one. And that has mattered so much. And I think, you know, for this season, we have spent just constantly praising Grady Eifert for this or that or whatever else, as much as you can a guy who averages 5 points a game, whatever he averages.
Yeah.
I think that is the area of the game where you directly link it back to him. Because one of Purdue's assistant coaches said to me last week, and it perfectly stands to reason, that when you see Purdue trying really hard on the offensive glass, that's in part people seeing how hard Grady Eifert's playing and that becoming contagious and then everyone else doing it. And when you look at how important offensive rebounding has been, when you look at how important offensive rebounding was against Villanova alone, those threes there off of offensive rebounds in the first half were really, really big. The caught air ball that Nojel Eastern got off a really tough three that Villanova forced at the end of the shot clock, that was a punch in the face type of play. And Purdue's been making that play more often than not all season long. And for a team that's won based on the possession column, in large part, I think the offensive rebounding has been something that that has been really, really significant for this team. And to get back to your question, talking about things that, you know, Purdue can control, one of those things is certainly its effort, and this team has done a really good job playing hard kind of all season long.
Purdue had a lot of guys who were efficient. Let's look at the both ends of the spectrum on this one for a second. Carson Edwards scores 42 points on 21 shots. Grady Eifert, the efficiency he had on one shot, I mean, to have that kind of impact is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and he did a great job as a passer. He did a great job as a rebounder.
Yeah.
He set a tone from the literally from the jump ball, because he just punked out, I think it was Phil Booth, maybe, for the opening tip. The ball got caromed around, and it was kind of a one-on-one scrum for the ball, and Eifert just wasn't going to let Villanova get that ball. And I thought from the opening jump, that was a pretty significant tone setter. Kind of thereafter, as I mentioned before, the two threes off the back-to-back offensive rebounds, I believe one was off a missed Carson Edwards three. The other was off Nojel Eastern missing at the rim. Eifert got the second of the two offensive rebounds, kicked it out to Carson Edwards for the three. Prior to that, he went barreling to the ball, jarred it free. Matt Harms picked it up, threw it over Ryan Klein, who made a three. And that was you know, coaches and players say all the time, those are the backbreakers. Those are the ones where you play good defense, you get a stop, and then you give up a shot, and it is just demoralizing. But taking that one step further there, when Purdue is shooting the way Purdue is shooting, they finally miss, you get a stop, they get the rebound, Purdue gets the rebound and then makes a three. Think of what kind of toll that can take on you. And as I mentioned before, I thought Purdue kind of won that little psychological warfare battle there where they actually rattled the defending champions and a team with players who were key players on two of the last three national championship teams. Purdue got in their head. And I think that was a big part of it. And I think Grady Eifert was a big part of that, too. That wasn't just Purdue making all their threes early, rattling Villanova. I think that was simply the effort and the simple message of Purdue's going to keep coming at the ball, whether you like it or not.
All right, and looking ahead to Tennessee on Thursday, let's look back at Tennessee from a year ago. Purdue playing the Volunteers in the Bahamas. You were down there. The Boilermakers got off to a good start. Grant Williams was in a little bit of foul trouble in the second half. I think he came then in the second half, and he was in a little foul trouble the first half, then came in the second half in overtime and had all 22 of his points as the Volunteers came back and then won in overtime. This is a very different Purdue team from a year ago. The Vols are similar in a lot of ways to what they were. What do you recall about that game, and what lessons can Purdue take into the matchup on Thursday?
I just remember Purdue should have won because, if I recall correctly, Purdue just kind of botched a simple switch there at the end of regulation. Lamonte Turner, I believe it was, who's not a very good shooter, or at least wasn't last year, makes that three from the corner to send it to overtime. Purdue loses in overtime. I just thought Purdue had that game won and kind of let it get away. That was the story of Atlantis last year, was Purdue losing a couple games it should have won, and then that sort of changing their season. Because obviously the Arizona game followed in that consolation game, and that was as good a game as Purdue's played in years. And I obviously say that right after Purdue played perhaps the best game I've seen Purdue play ever in context. But then that sort of turned their season around. How much that matters now, probably not at all, because this is an entirely different Purdue team. I remember Purdue couldn't get stops down the stretch of regulation in that game. That was largely credit to Grant Williams. He's obviously a very physical player, and Purdue struggled with him a little bit guarding one-on-one at the four. I know people are going to say that's going to be a mismatch with Grady Eifert on defense, but so is Eric Paschal. And, yes, Paschal got a couple of ISO jumpers over Grady Eifert, but Purdue led by 33, so it didn't matter. Purdue's done a really good job this year formulating game plans from a defensive perspective, and I would imagine they'll have a pretty decent plan in place again for Grant Williams. Purdue's done a good job all year long sort of limiting the other team's best player, and that's what you want to do defensively. I'm sure Villanova had a plan on Saturday night to limit Purdue's best player and gave up 42, so it's not always as easy as it's not always as easy to do as it is to say in theory. But I'm sure Purdue will have a pretty decent plan for Grant Williams. It's just a matter of whether or not they can execute it, whether or not it's quite good enough, because he's a really good player, obviously.
All right. Well, much more to break down in this one, certainly, as we lead up to that tip on Thursday night. Brian will have for you on goldandblack.com. Hey, thanks, and enjoy your travel south.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll bring in Tom Dienhart. We'll follow up with a little bit of basketball talk. We'll also talk some spring football. We'll do that and much more here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765 412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Tom Deanhart. We'll talk a little bit of basketball, then football spring practice as we near that spring football game. All right, Tom, we know that Carson Edwards has it in him. We've seen him hit for 40 points before. Not sure any of us predicted the explosion that he had on Saturday, however. How does that one rank up there with the greatest Purdue performances that you've seen?
Oh, it ranks right up there, Kyle. I mean, especially when you consider the circumstances, the stakes, you know, the second round of the NCAA tournament, one and done, your season's on the line, and you're playing, a team that won two national titles the last 3 years and was the defending national champ. So you factor all those things in, extraordinary. I got to be in Knoxville, Tennessee, way back in 1994 to see Glenn Robinson score 44 points in a win over Kansas. So, I mean, that game obviously compares very favorably to what Carson did. Just two extraordinary talents for Purdue, shining under the glare of the NCAA spotlight.
Can Carson Edwards keep it up?
Why not? You know, things are on a roll. You get a little bit of momentum, a little bit of mojo, start having confidence, Kyle. As you know, confidence is one of the biggest things in life to have, and you got to feel good about yourself no matter what you're doing in life. And he has to obviously feel great coming off a performance for the ages there. So that's good news for Purdue. They've won many times, as you know, Kyle, when Carson hasn't been hitting. They found a way. But, man, when he's hitting shots, we all know how difficult this team can be to beat. So, yeah, why can't he continue it? And they're obviously going to need it now when you're playing a team like Tennessee and then maybe a team like Virginia on Saturday with them, who knows, Final Four bid on the line.
Seems like he certainly is a matchup advantage for the Boilermakers, especially when Edwards is hitting shots like that. But Purdue might have other areas as well. It feels to me like, you know, Matt Harms, the way he is playing, you know, you might be able to get some quality minutes, some good points out of him. Certainly he's going to play defense and affect things on the defensive end. But the way he's able to move inside and that quickness and size advantage that he has over a lot of others, it seems like Purdue might be able to go to that again on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, not many people have a player of his physical stature, a 7'3" center who's got mobility, can run the court, can protect the rim as a shot blocker, and his offensive game continues to round into form. It seems like he had about 20 dunks, uncontested dunks, against Villanova. Got a little bit of a jump shot too, and can turn around and hit his shot from the elbow. So again, you're right. You factor in Carson Edwards with Matt Harms, and those are two players, you know, Tennessee really could have difficult time matching up with. So Purdue obviously has to take advantage of the talents that the big fella brings, and of course what the All-American Carson Edwards brings as well, working off the dribble, of course shooting those limitless three-pointers.
All right, Tom, it is also spring football season. I know that's sort of hard to believe because we're paying so much attention to the Boilermakers in March Madness, but you've been out at football practice as well. That's going on, right?
Yeah. You know, you can only tell so much in spring drills, Kyle. You covered it for a lot of years. And honestly, maybe the most notable thing about spring football for Purdue these first, three or four weeks has been who's not playing. Especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, Lorenzo Neal out, Anthony Watts out. You have linebackers like Marcus Bailey and Cornell Jones and Jalen Alexander out. There's a cornerback named Jordan Rucker who was out last week late. Offensively, you know, Victor Beast, the guy they want to be the center, has only played, one or two spring practices so far early on. He continues to deal with a back injury. Terrio Fowler wasn't there. Late last week, Evan Anderson, another running back, has been absent as well. So on and on I can go, not to bore you with more injury absentee details, but it's been a real mash unit and a real mishmash of players out there so far in spring drills for Purdue.
So what will Purdue learn by the end of this about its team?
You know what? I'm not sure how much. The one thing I can say, they're getting a good look at a lot of the young players, the redshirt freshmen, obviously, in particular, some of the sophomores coming out of redshirt freshman seasons. The offensive line, I think Dale Williams, we talked to him last Friday. Of course, his unit's under a lot of scrutiny here. Yeah, I talked about Beach. They want him to be the center. Obviously, he's been out, but you know, Dale Williams is getting a good look at a lot of the other interior linemen. Guys like Sam Garvin, who's been taking the snaps as the first team center. Jimmy McKenna, Kyle, a redshirt freshman, has been running with the ones at a guard spot. You know, Will Bramble, Eric Miller, a couple other redshirt freshman offensive linemen, DJ Washington. So, again, they're getting a good look at a lot of young players on the offensive line in particular and across the board. So, a lot of work to do, and a lot of these situations and positions obviously will not be solved until we probably get deep into training camp in August.
Let's see. So the spring game is on the 6th of April. There is a scrimmage, though, this week, right? Sort of the big scrimmage before that spring game?
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's going to be a scrimmage on March 30th. So, you know, obviously in those situations, game-like conditions, the stakes are higher. You know, players will get a chance to really impress. So it's one thing to look good in drills. It's another thing to excel under these conditions of a scrimmage. So this will be the first one in the spring they've had scrimmage-like conditions and situations and practices, but no full-scale scrimmages yet. So this gives the coaches a good chance to evaluate players under more, like I said, intense circumstances and chance for the players maybe to show what they've got. So it's going to be interesting to see how things unfold.
Sounds good, Tom. We'll look for everything on the site at goldenblack.com.
Thank you, Kyle. Be good, buddy.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back to put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters.
And a big week it is. The Boilermakers in action again on Thursday, 7:30 for the Sweet 16 game against Tennessee. Of course, Brian will be down in Louisville for all the pregame reports. Look for his postgame as well, including the postgame podcast, which he will distribute the same way this one is. So look for that. Also, Tom out at spring football practice as well. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. A thanks, as always, to our sponsors, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. That's our show. We'll be back again next Monday with more. For Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.